podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Women's Show. It's me, Chris Brack, and I'm joined by Philippa Smallwood and Neil Atkinson. How are we all doing?
Splendidly.
Okay.
Good. We were going to have Emma, but, you know, BBC takes over, and that's fair enough, because, you know, BBC are a little bit more important than me. So let's talk about WSL, because I think last time we spoke, we were just on the cusp of the season. Let's see how it's all going. And it's been we were out of a bang, didn't we? I mean, you know, Chelsea at home, 2-1. You can't ask much more, can you, Philippa?
Red game in postponed, and you know, we looked at them in the end of our difference. We know it's a bit for us.
I think we've lost you there, Philip, but I'll come back to you in a minute. Neil, so 2-1 against Chelsea, that went well.
Unbelievable, to be honest with you. I was away for it, and I'm gutted. I'm gutted genuinely that I wasn't present, because obviously it also being, you know, the first game, but the first home game of the season after promotion. But I was away on holiday, and I was basically walking around a conservatory in Chicago, following the game from people's Twitter, yours being one of them, and being just sort of taken by it. You know, they go 1-0 down early, and I honestly walked along next to Samantha, and I said, I'm just worried they could get whacked here. And suddenly it's back to 1-1, and there's obviously, you know, I'm hearing about the Sam Kerr disallowed goal, et cetera, following it from there, and then getting back and getting to watch it was... You know, it's such a stern performance, and I mean that, and you know, as a huge compliment. The hang on, Chris, and the hang on to the coattails of Chelsea in the first 20, and then they don't just hang on to the coattails of Chelsea, but they use the coattails of Chelsea to drag them into the muck, and then from there they ensure that they find their way through the game. And it's not a lack of quality through it. It's understanding how to use the quality they've got to get territory up the pitch, to look after the ball for a period of time. And it's so smart. And listen, I think they caught Chelsea on what becomes a decent day in the end. But put all that to one side, it's such a meaningful result. And it's a result that adds, I think, to Liverpool's luster over the course of this campaign, and to the luster of the whole season. And, you know, you're left in a situation where there's really only one truly disappointing result or performance now over the course of the first few games, when, as I say, at 1-0 down against Chelsea with that much time on the clock, you began to really fear for them. And instead, they just gave everyone a massive lift. And I feel as though that's been part of, you know, as I say, one game aside, that's been part of what's allowed them to really turn this season into a live proposition, despite the fact that there hasn't been a league win since. It's part of what makes you think, yeah, but there's something within these that they're actually winners. And that helps. That helps a great deal. You know, I feel like they're actually winners. And I think that they show that against Chelsea, because you couldn't get that result in that way under those circumstances if you weren't a team of winners, and that's what they are.
Yeah, we'll go Philippa back. Yeah, I mean, Philippa, we were there for the last WSL season, and we sort of knew that if you conceded early, that became 2-3 quite quickly. You know, that was just kind of where we were. Whereas you would say all the way through the season, I know this is the only win we've had, but barring one game, which we'll come to, Liverpool are always keeping themselves in it. And we always said that was the key for WSL, was keep yourself in it, because you never know your luck sometimes. And you know, it was a hard 45 minutes. I mean, they absolutely battled for that 45 minutes. Second half, though, Liverpool went up a level, you know, driven by, you know, the back three and Kerry Holland and, I think, Missy Bowe in the middle.
Yeah, I think that's something that's, like, kind of, like, really impressed me, is how competitive we've been in each of these games. You know, when you come up against these sorts of sides, like your Chelsea's and your Arsenal's, you can expect them to have plenty of the ball. And, you know, those teams are always going to cause you problems. But we've limited them, I would say, more than I probably expected us to. And it's meant that we've been able to cause them problems as well. And, you know, it's not just been a backs against the wall and you're hanging on and, you know, hoping that you're not going to get, you know, smashed. But we've genuinely being competitive, and you feel like these sides know that, you know, it's not an easy game for them. They've had to fight for the points that they've got on the table. And in those games, I think that is the most important thing for me. You know, like Neil just said there, you know, there's literally one game that you can single out and say, we definitely didn't perform and we definitely didn't compete as we would have wanted to in that game. And there might be other reasoning behind that. But in every game apart from that, I mean, I went to City at the weekend and, you know, the performance there for me, I definitely feel we deserve something from that game. And going into it again was one of those where you think anything at all, you know, is a bonus here, but you come away from it a little bit disappointed that you haven't got anything, but you could see in the players that they honestly believe that, you know, they are competitive and the confidence hasn't dropped. And that was a big concern for me after this run of games, is that the confidence would have left them.
Yeah, I mean, we saw with the equaliser, I think this is credit to Matt Beard, Neil, is I'll probably say, bar the one game which we'll come to, is his subs nearly always make an impact. You know, Meg Campbell comes on, you know, the long throw, causes chaos, wins the penalty. Tottenham away, you see Raza Roberts come on, you see Fernie come on. They make an impact. They make Liverpool stronger. So that's the other big credit to the managers. Nearly all of his subs, when he brings them on, they do something. They cause some sort of chaos or some sort of disruption to the opposition, which is something we haven't probably last time we weren't doing enough of.
I think the impact thing's significant, but I think within that, it's the marker point that actually, again, and let's be clear about this, Liverpool have quite possibly played, I think, the sides who are likely to finish first to sixth, with the exception of Manchester United. And I think, one of the things that I thought we might see over the course of this campaign was an element of, well, sometimes you'll see it from the bench. You'll see a bit of a gulf from the bench. And actually, I think what you're actually seeing from the bench isn't that Liverpool's bench options match that of City and Chelsea, etc. But in the same way that when they use their bench, there isn't a marked drop-off, there isn't one for Liverpool either. Mm-hmm. And what that means, so Liverpool are able to say, we've got a squad of 16, 17 women who are all at this level. And we'll find out what this level is at the end of the campaign. But I've got a level of optimism that this level will prove to be 7th, 8th or 9th. I've got a genuine level of optimism. Yeah. It'll prove to be 7th, 8th or 9th. And that within that, in exactly the same way that one of the reasons why, for instance, Chelsea are able to have the success they have, Arsenal are able to have the success they have, that they can set aside out and know, that if we need to change it from the bench, we're bringing on players of equivalent quality, if not at times actually better or more useful for this game in this scenario. And I think that's where Liverpool will be, that Liverpool will end up feeling as though they've got 16, 17, 18 players who are all more than capable of knocking it round at 7th, 8th, 9th in this division. Now, what you do from there is, you know, obviously it's one very much for next year. It's one very much for another day. But I think that's part of what those substitutions have said to me, that, you know, obviously credit to the manager, don't get me wrong, but the footballers themselves have got to be of a level. And I think that you've got to see that. I think you've got to see the fact that that hasn't damaged them, you know, when they've had to turn to a bench, that if anything, as you say, you know, you make the point, it's boosted them. And I think that therefore allows us to have a level of confidence that when these fixtures turn, when they're not just solely playing teams that are going to come first to sixth, then I think within that you can then end up saying, well, all right, hopefully we'll get to see, you know, hopefully we're praising the manager's substitutions even more, because they're not leading to some decent opportunities at the back end of matches, but they're actually meaning Liverpool are winning games that they might have won anyway, 2-1, 3-1 or 4-1. That is possible, I think, at this stage. And that is about as much as you could have plausibly hoped for. And I think that's worth bearing in mind through all these conversations. That's about as much as you could have plausibly hoped for. Liverpool have shown that, and those players have shown that, and it's a credit to them.
Yeah. I mean, Philip, let's talk about sort of like, you know, there's a few new players in the squad and some players who haven't played to himself for a while. But quite nearly all of them, I'll say, don't look out of place. You know, Katie Stengel is, what comes to because of the injuries, is having to lead the line now, you know, because of Leanne Kiernan's injury. You know, she's causing Chelsea's, the City's, the Arsenal's problems. That shows the level of forward we've got on our hands here. And Mel Lawley, I think, especially the Tottenham game and the City game, looks brilliant, you know, and is doing what she was doing in Championship, which is causing teams problems and causing real end products for them. And that's kind of like, you know, these are always the questions you have is, how will Katie Stengel settle in WSL? How will our forward settle in the WSL? We'll come to the departments in a bit. But both of them have been excellent for us so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, on Lawley, when we were in the WSL last time, I felt she was pretty disappointing, to be honest, because she came obviously like from City and, you know, it was like the big name almost. And it felt like she just completely, all her confidence evaporated basically. And she got that back a lot last season. And, you know, she was excellent for us last season. But the last three games in particular, Leicester, she was an absolute menace. And she's basically playing as one of the front two at the moment, because we've basically reverted to like a three in midfield. And I think that's really suiting us as well, with not having Kiernan available. And she is absolutely terrorising teams. You know, there was opportunities against City where, you know, you could argue maybe the end product could have been a little bit better, but they know that the defenders know that they're in a game against her. And I think that's something that when she was in the WSL last time, you felt like she didn't quite have that. She didn't quite have that belief that she could beat those teams, you know, like those defenders, and, you know, that she could be as effective for us. And that probably goes back to Matt. You know, he's instilled this confidence in her and said, you know, you're our player here, and, you know, building on from like last season. And, you know, it's been really impressive. Stengel, for me, it's a really difficult job, that basically leading the line by yourself, and not having Kiernan available when, you know, she's been the player who, you know, with the pace and, you know, that almost like it gives us all our momentum going forward. It's very, very difficult then, I would say, for Stengel to be as effective as what she was towards the end of last season in Championship. But she's really impressed me. And again, at the weekend against City, she's putting defenders under pressure, and she steals the ball away from a defender who, let's not forget, won the Euros in the summer. You know, yeah. She's no mug, Alex Greenwood. You know, she played for us ourselves. We know how good she is. And she steals the ball away from it. And then to be so composed, to be able to finish that chance as well, I think it shows us everything about her. And, you know, against the sides, like Neil says, that we expect to finish in and around us in that bottom half of the table, I think she's going to cause them a lot more problems than what she has done the likes of Chelsea, your Arsenal, your Man Cities, because they are a level above where we are at the moment. Let's be honest about this. Mm. But the teams, you know, who I believe will be in and around us or finish below us, I think she's going to cause them even more problems. And to be honest, I can't wait to see it.
I think there's, in general, about the way in which the sides are functioning in comparison, you know, it's worth saying that they've played only sides that will finish in the top six. And at the minute, the non-penalty goal difference, non-penalty, by the way, because they've had a couple of penalties, and by the way, they've had penalties that are penalties because they've been getting the ball in the penalty area. The non-penalty expected goal difference is not as bad as Brighton's, Leicester's or Reading's. And Villa's, West Ham's and Everton's is only a little bit better. 1.2 to 0.4, so a bit more than significantly better, but not stupidly so. My point here is that Liverpool have literally had, with one exception, the hardest games you can possibly have. And yeah. I'd argue that, you know, even though United are top at the minute, Spurs and United, for the sides who are going to finish 7th to 12th, it's much of a muchness. My point here is that Liverpool's, you know, West Ham have had the ability to play up against certain sides at this point of this season that we haven't had the ability. They've played Reading, they've played up against Aston Villa. You know, they had Everton first week, you know, but they've got the results that they've got in there, and you know, fair play to them in a sense. You know, we've still got to go and get those results, but you know, we're performing in the way in which we are, you know, a little bit poorer than Aston Villa. But Aston Villa, they've played West Ham, they've played Leicester, they've again also had Everton in there as well. They've played these sides though, and this stuff skews the numbers. They have the first weekend victory against Manchester City, the 4-3. When the game gets all a bit out of control, we haven't all got the luxury of one of them, although we do get the result that we get against Chelsea. So you end up in this sort of situation where, you know, my point here is that Liverpool's numbers are not as bad as three sides as anyway, and are skewed by the fixture list, the underlying numbers. Yeah. You know, when they get unskewed, when we are sort of halfway through this campaign, I expect Liverpool's underlying numbers to be closer to West Ham's, to Villa's, to Everton's than they are to Brighton's, Leicester's and Reading's. And that is a big deal. And, you know, those metrics do mean something. Those metrics do count. There's, you know, there's a future in them a lot of the time. And that's where Liverpool are. You know, right now, Liverpool from open play, they're massively underperforming their expected goals. Now, there's a minor chat here about whether or not they've had enough quality chances. And that's something to think about. But they're massively in front of goal. are performing at the minute from open play. They've only got one goal, and the XG that they should have is 4.5. But again, that's 4.5 having played Tottenham, Manchester City, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Everton. Having gone through those games, this is the strength within this put these performances, and the strength is almost stats, by the way, from StatsBomb, and the strength in these performances, and that strength's important and it's marked. And, you know, I think that Stengel's important to that, and I think she's going to remain important to that because the length of time it looks like Kiernan's going to be out for, which is a real blow. But across the board, I think that we can, you know, as I say, we can be genuinely buoyed. There's, you know, the whole thing's not without sort of question and debate. I still think it's, you know, it's a really rather slow back three. And you do have minor concerns about that. It's not, you know, and this is in the context of the fact that I think that everyone's actually played when I've caught Liverpool, you know, pretty well. I do feel as though that is the case, that people are playing pretty well, but they're playing pretty well in the context of the fact that they can only run as fast as they can run. Any footballer, you cannot make footballers, you know, in week by week, you cannot make footballers markedly quicker. And I think there's been some really good defending from people in key moments, but where it's difficult to sort of, to have the level of pace that you've got as a collective in there, it does sort of make it difficult for you. So as I say, the point isn't that everything is unbelievably rosy and that all these footballers are playing top six WSL sort of standard stuff. That isn't the point. The point is, from where we were, Philippa, from everything that we talked about before the season began, from the way we even felt before certain games at times this season, we are just simply doing better than we might have thought, and that's credit to everyone involved.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good point you make there. I mean, look, as Neil says, not everything is rose in the garden. So, I mean, are there any, you know, Philippa, we've talked, you know, at games, you know, what sort of things do we feel are, you know, areas to work on or areas we can see? Because, I mean, the two in my head at the moment is probably we do seem to start quite slowly, which is, to be fair, the City was the one game we didn't start slow, but I do feel sometimes these slow starts have made life a little bit more difficult for us. And we still have our debate about the formation we play, which won us the championship, you can't knock it. But I do wonder if it's too much work for the two in the middle.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why Matt has reverted to a three now. They did it against Leicester in the cup, and it was to see how it worked. And, you know, we go on and win that game 4-0. And then the same thing against City. And what it does is it makes it a little bit easier for those at the back for me, because as Neil said there, you know, we haven't got a lot of pace there. But when you've only got two in the midfield, basically, it makes it a bit easier to pass through the midfield. So solidifying that up a little bit and making Mel Lawley play a little bit narrower has meant that there's a little bit more solidified a little bit more in the middle of the pitch, basically. And it seems to be working. I mean, we'll see how he plays it when we play against, you know, the lesser side, should we call them that? Because then you look at, well, it worked for us in the Championship, you know, and we walked away with that league. You know, is it something that would then work against the teams that are at the lower end of the WSL? Or is it a case where you need to stick with the three in the middle because of the availability of the players that we've got in the forward positions at the minute? You know, Van der Sanden had her first minutes against City as well, which was pleasing to see. But is she ready yet to step in and start a game? Or is it going to be a case where she needs to come off the bench and therefore you need to stick with just the two forwards on the pitch? So it's going to be interesting times. I also think there is still that question mark about the defence, as Neil mentioned, about just how quick they are, basically. But I've been really pleased with what I've seen over the last couple of games. Positionally, I don't think you can really question a lot of what's going on. I think Julie Flaherty against Man City was absolutely brilliant, by the way. And I think that needs highlighting. I know she's had a bit of a tough start to her Liverpool career, but I think the last two or three games she's really...
She was good against Arsenal. Thought she was good against Arsenal.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. You know, and like Neil says, you know, there's nothing you can do about, you know, how fast you can run. You literally can't address that anywhere. But what you can do is get that understanding with your fellow players a little bit better. And I think that's what she's done. I think her positional sense is brilliant. There were several times when Lauren Hemp, who I think is one of the best forwards in the whole of the WSL. You know, was in the box and she shepherded her brilliantly and didn't give her any space at all. And I think it can't be underestimated, you know, that skill, basically. You know, we can talk all day about players who can get back in and make a tackle and, you know, use the pace in that sense. But to be able to stop a player from creating something or play their natural game, I think is really special. And, you know, she did that against Man City brilliantly. Like I say, it's going to be interesting when we've got a little bit more of the ball and we're playing a little bit further up the pitch against the teams, you know, around from 7th to 12th, should we say. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how we handle that, because I imagine that those teams will be quite happy for us to have the ball, sit off us a little bit and try and hit us on the break. That is a little bit of a question mark for me, but, you know, like Neil says, you know, we're outperforming where we thought we would be at this stage against the sides that we've played. And I think, you know, we need to keep hold of those positives and see how we go at the weekend against Aston Villa, because that for me is going to be a real indicator as to where we might finish.
I think the formation question and, in a sense, the pace on the turn question is a deal around who your opponents are, but also from the midfield point of view, I think it's hard to understate the extent to which the lack of Kerry Holland for a few weeks coming up now couldn't have been more poorly timed. I thought she was genuinely excellent against Arsenal. I thought she showed genuinely being able to play in that company in a way that, you know, in the middle of the park there, in a game which moved incredibly quickly at times, she was right there all the way through. I thought it was some performance from her. To have lost her for this forthcoming run, I think it does throw open the question around the formation, because I think that, you know, Kerry had shown that you could stay competitive in these games against these really good sides with only two in the middle. Whether or not Liverpool will feel the same way without Kerry is, I think, a bit of a question for the manager to answer. And I think he will answer it in the way a lot of football managers answer this sort of question, with a little bit of a halfway house, in that I expect you to see periods in games where Liverpool are 3-4-3 and to see periods in games where Liverpool are 3-5-2. And you'll see some games we might start with one and move to the other as it wears on. Others we might start more solid and choose therefore to add attackers as the game wears on and take that and, you know, and extend our chance. I don't think there's a clean answer, because I think that's the extent to which she'll be missed. I thought Matthews and Holland were really good against Arsenal, really, really good at Prenton Park. It was impressive to see the two of them up against what is an excellent side, you know, a side that is currently sort of, you know, effectively looking like one of the best, if not the best, in the world, to be absolutely crystal clear about it. And they kept Liverpool able to be genuinely competitive in phases of play around the pitch. You know, it wasn't the same as Liverpool were not peppering the Arsenal goal or anything like that, but Liverpool were able to ensure the football match mostly happened where they wanted it to on the whole, because of the quality of Matthews and Holland. And I think that's my... That is, you know, it's a mild concern. Now, it's not one that's anything to do with, you know, any decision anyone's made, the manager, you know, recruitment, anything like that. It is as simple as sometimes one of your most important players gets injured and what are you going to do about it? And that's where Liverpool are with these easier fixtures to come. It is a little bit of a blow, because I do think it does impinge on his tactical flexibility simply to lose the excellence of the player.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, Kerry Holland's been our player of the season so far. I mean, I thought she was last year. She's absolutely immense. As Neil touched on, Philippa, Jazz Matthews, you know, was it three or four games ago, we moved her from centre-back to centre-mid, and she's been excellent there. And it also gives us the benefit of we can get Megan Campbell in from the start as well, which, you know, it just gives us another option. So, you know, it shows the flexibility, because that's a big thing for the manager to deal with. We have been unfortunate with key injuries, almost all in the same position, you know. We've lost Leanne Keenan and Van der Sanden, so two of our big pace options we have for the front three gone until a day. You know, Van der Sanden just back, Keenan's next year, and then probably one of our most key midfielders gone again. So, and again, as Neil said, this is against sides who will finish it in the top six, and it's not like you're playing with a full hand. Ellis never has to adapt to injuries, but you do want a bit of luck of injuries when you're playing the top six sides, and to keep competitive. without those sort of players, you know, you've got to credit that's the squad we've got and also how well the manager's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more of an issue for us in these games that we want to be winning and picking up points from, because I think to be without three critical players against those sides hurts us more than it does against your likes of your Arsenals and your Chelseas, because they would literally be bonuses. So I'm absolutely, like Neil says, I think it's like the worst timing. The only kind of, I don't know what you call it, but basically we've got an international break coming up now, and that is the only kind of like silver lining within it. You know, we've got cup games as well, you know, which she probably wouldn't have played, but she's going to miss at least two league games where we would want her available, and she is going to be critical in those games for me. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does at the weekend. I mean, she missed out against City, and we played brilliantly. You know, the midfield was functioning really, really well. We had Jazz Matthews, Missy Bokerns, and Furness ended up starting in the end because Kerry Holland pulled out. And, you know, they were brilliant. My thing is that I don't see any of those midfielders having the same sort of drive and engine that Kerry Holland's got. And I think that's where we miss out. You know, her transition from being able to take it from defence into attack, I think is absolutely critical for this side. And I'm not sure we've got anybody who really replaces that. I haven't seen enough of Charlotte Wardlaw in the midfield to be able to say if she can perform that kind of role for us. So Carla maybe Humphreys, that's an option.
Yeah, the other one is Carla Humphreys. She hasn't really got much of a look in yet. And it's kind of a player I thought was bought for when we bought her.
WSL.
She was bought for the WSL. And I'm a little surprised she hasn't had more of a look in, because I think when she played in the FA Cup against Arsenal, she was excellent. You know, really, you know, she's a very technical player, you know. Really good eye for a pass. Now, maybe she's the sort of player we need against the size that in and around us, that because we'll have more of the ball, you know, some of that clever pass. Maybe that's what we need.
Yeah, I actually think she may start at the weekend. But like I say, I'm not too sure. I haven't seen enough of her to basically say, can she perform a similar role as to what Kerry Holland does for us? And my one concern, again, like as we spoke about with the defence, is Carla Humphrey, for me, every time I've watched her play, she hasn't got that turn of pace. She hasn't got the pace in there. So I'm worried that, you know, we haven't got any pace in the back line, and then we wouldn't have any pace in the midfield, and, you know, whether or not that's going to hurt us. You know, I don't want to get overly negative about it, but I think it needs to be highlighted what a huge miss she's going to be for us.
Yeah. Pace is, you know, it's one of the key, like watching Arsenal, just having the privilege of watching Arsenal really in certain patches, the turn of pace that certain players have got in this division is just remarkable. You know, we got to see some of it against Chelsea, but Chelsea themselves, you know, found it a little bit difficult. When Everton quickened it in the game at Anfield, you know, you got to see, my God, Everton have just quickened it there all of a sudden. And we just couldn't quite find that almost, you know, just for sort of find that as a brief metronome, because part of the reason why sometimes when you talk about all football teams, any football team, but that Everton team was a really good example of, they were able to quicken it on their terms. And then when they did quicken it on their terms, we just couldn't quite live with it. And that Everton couldn't play 90 minutes at that speed. They couldn't play 45 at that speed. They probably couldn't play 30 at that speed. But all those players all of a sudden in concert going, right, we all go here for 5 minutes, took the game away from Liverpool that day. I think that Arsenal, you got to see in brief spurts that when they suddenly went, no, we're now playing at this speed, again, they couldn't keep it up, but they can go to that pitch. And that's going to be the Liverpool concern, really, I think, especially without Holland, is, you know, that's what genuine speed can do to you. It isn't as though you're going to be dealing with wave after wave of these unbelievably speedy attacks for 90 minutes. It just doesn't work like that. But you've got to be able to live with it when it's there. And that is what sort of what concerns me in this step up. It's the thing I think is most marked about the step up. There's the obvious technical ability. They're obviously technically more gifted players than the players that we were playing against last season. But for me, you know, we, for instance, sang at different times last season, didn't quite sing the praises of Durham. But one of the things that you'd say about Durham was they had this set of skills that made them difficult opponents to play against. we never called them quick. quick. And I think everyone we faced last season, we felt we were able to be a little bit quicker than, a little bit fitter than, for a variety of reasons, up to and including the levels of professionalism. And I don't mean that disparagingly. I just mean literally whether or not people were full-time footballers. That's long gone now. And that's one of the things that I've taken away from it. Every game that I've seen, either in full or the highlights of across the course of the campaign, is suddenly what do you do when the opposition go to this warp speed that Liverpool just aren't that used to dealing with? And that would be the concern. All of that said, you know, listen, this is football, and the job in the most basic way now is win the homes. You know, until Kenny gets back, but also just in general, it's win the homes. If Liverpool could win the, you know, looking at the next five league games, if Liverpool can win the home before the Christmas, the sort of the Christmas slash winter break, if Liverpool win the homes and don't lose the aways, then that table looks exceptionally rosy. It just simply has to.
We're basically safe then, aren't we, Neil? Before Christmas.
And I think but what that means though, Philippa, is that we'll then, because of the way the fixture list works, you know, we'll then have a slightly ropey run the other side, because, you know, very quickly then we play Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham and Everton all over again very quickly in the other run. And there'll be moments of going, oh, could they be catching us back up? But in the realms of the ifs of what would you like, it is as simple as, in this little run now, win the homes, don't lose the aways. And then I think from there they would just be in really, really good shape and needing just a couple more results to fall their way in the second half of the season to be basically safe and then also ultimately able to enjoy the football. And that's why it is a worry not having Kerry for this little run, because I think if you've got Kerry in there as well on top of everyone else, then you can really feel as though, firstly, the other thing to point out as well, you know, in terms of how long she's out, is in a very un-women's football-like way, there is frankly a bit of fixture congestion on the horizon either side of the international break. With the, you know, and they're in good shape in the cup. It's worth pointing that out. So, you know, I think you want to see them get out the group if that's at all possible. But if they can, you know, they do play from when they get back. They are playing with one break. They're playing every 3 days. They go on a run of playing three games in a week, having a week off, and then playing three games in a week. That is quite a congested calendar. And so to lose anyone to not be full strength of that period will obviously make it harder. And you just worry that in the middle of the park, Kerry is the one who's able to carry a lot of other people's water. So to not have her in there, I think it might just make it a little bit tricky in that run, but hopefully they keep it together.
Yeah, that's the fingers crossed. I mean, let's talk about, we've mentioned this, the one game that hasn't gone quite well, so we may as well talk about it, which unfortunately was in front of the biggest crowd. It was, you know, home game at Anfield, 27,000, I believe, you know, so big occasion. Just unfortunately for Liverpool, it felt like it raised Everton's level, and partly because they have the younger number 11 on the wing for Atletico Madrid from City.
Jess Park.
She was ridiculously brilliant and electrically quick. But again, it was a bit of a slow start. But I mean, even at 1-0, Liverpool had a couple of half chances, which they were unusually not clinical with, I would say. And then second half, it kind of just got away from Liverpool a little bit. It's frustrating when it's a big occasion. I think I've seen the record. I don't think we've actually won a home derby at Anfield yet, which is really, really frustrating. But
yeah, we need to sort that out.
Yeah, it's not the dumb thing, really, is it?
Yeah, I mean. Let's not forget that, you know, these players, they don't get to play on these stages very often, if at all. And, you know, it's very easy for us to go, it's just another game. It's just at Anfield instead of at Prenton Park or, you know, any other ground that they play in. But the magnitude of it, the fact that it's on TV, the fact that, you know, it's almost like a statement game. And you know, we saw last season that these players can handle the pressure. But I have to say, having watched all the other games that they've played in before and since then, it seems to me that they literally froze on the stage, in my opinion. And it was only like the last 20 minutes, I would say, where I felt they got any sort of a foothold in the game and they looked like they could properly cause some problems for Everton. And I think We basically have to just write that game off and not use it as a barometer to kind of like judge this team, because in the other four games, they've been competitive against everybody. They've not rolled over for anybody. And it felt a little bit in that game like they did roll over a little bit. And I can only, you know, off what we've seen last season and what we've seen also this season, that is an anomaly for me rather than the norm. It's disappointing because it was at Anfield and it was this big occasion and 27,000 people went to watch, and you want those people to stay and to, you know, to want to go and watch, you know, Liverpool every week. And you feel that if they'd have won that game, you know, that'd be a lot easier to do than getting beat 3-0 by your closest rival. But I mean, it is what it is. We can't do anything about it now, can we? No. The only thing we can do is hopefully when the derby gets played at Goodison is to beat them 3-0 there. So let's focus on that.
There's also there is a concept that this is literally the big F they just put in against Chelsea and losing Kerry Holland. The manager himself said he tried something different. You know, we tried Hines as a winger rather than as a fullback, and he openly said, he goes, it didn't quite work. And he, you know, fair play to mind, went, look, that's not me. That's also protected his players, but that's just saying it didn't work. You know, I felt sorry for young Missy Bo, you know, because she had to do all the press, local girl, you know, you'd expect that. And I think she was left a little bit, you know, as we thought with the midfield. So, you know, I think she got I felt some unfair criticism because I think as a team, it just didn't come off. But unfortunately, because she was the local girl, you know, she obviously did all the press and all that, I think there was a lot of focus on her, which I do feel was a bit unfair, which is why I quite liked the City game, especially when we made it to 5-3-2. She was allowed to be the high press, and you saw Missy Bo at her best then, because that's what causes the goal. Is they're all, the DM is so scared that Missy Bo's going to be around, snap her ankles. And it allows her to do what she's brilliant at, which is going forward, she can pick a pass from anywhere and building that confidence back in the game. Because, you know, there's no doubt with Missy Bo, the ability's there. And look, she's showing at this level, she's ready for it. Like you said, put it down as it was one of those games where it's just unfortunate. You kind of wish it was one of those games not against your closest rivals, but we are where we are. So, but let's move on to positives, because, you know, we've all been dour about that. Let's talk about, you know, who sort of impressed us, you know, who's done well for us, who stood out. You know, we've already talked about Stengel. I think, Neil, we talked about that at the start of the season. I think everyone's seeing, you know, the goalie's fabulous. And you can see she belongs at this level. And quite frankly, I don't know why other WSL sides didn't go for her when we got her. I mean, we did. But she was great. I mean, when we're 2-1 up against Chelsea, it's the best time delays I've ever seen.
I mean, definitely that. Brilliant. Absolutely incredible at that. I think ultimately this is, you know, it's such a display of shot stopping over the course of the campaign that, you know, you've almost been knocked over by it at times. You know, there's so many goals that should have gone in, you know, and that is testament to, let's be clear about this, the quality of the opposition, to state it again and be really clear to anyone listening who might be, you know, unsure about that sort of thing. You know, Liverpool have played the best, you know, they played 5 games against 5 of the best 6 teams. So, of course, the goalkeeper is going to be at her busiest through that period of time. But so many, you know, in terms of, if you just sort of think about some of the shots that have got past her, first and foremost, they've had to be that excellent, to be honest with you, in order to get a chance of getting past her over the course of games. And that is, again, that's sort of testament to that quality. And then there's, you know, there's so many phenomenally good saves. There's, you know, there's the one from Ford against Arsenal, which is just an absolute belter in there. You know, you've got the save.
City the weekend.
You've got it's a catch of Snoyges for Everton. Yeah. I'm not pronounced the name, but I only read it, you know, after the fact. You know, that's a shot that almost just sort of comes from nothing. She manages to keep that one out. You know, you're just left over and over again, sort of just stunned by the quality of some of these stops. There's the late one from Mead against Arsenal, which, to be fair, there's not a lot riding on it because the game's 2-0 at that point. But then the flip side of that is, well, there's not a lot riding on it for Mead either, and she still can't stick the ball in the back of the net against a player of this, against this quality goalkeeper. There is just such an awful lot in there. And, you know, she's, whilst this is ongoing, it's a massive part of what's going to continually give Liverpool a chance. And I think that, you know, as I say, that says so much about where she is and the quality of her, and also how important she is as an organiser as well.
Yeah, I mean, she's one of the biggest characters with her mate, Fernie, who Listen, when she comes on, Finesse, she makes an impact. I mean, I think against Arsenal, she tried to head through someone, which I'm surprised she could run from, to be honest. But Finesse, she's proven at this level, and that's the type of experience. And I think, although we've talked about some of the concerns about maybe the lack of pace at the back, the flip side is Campbell, Nifahi, and Joe Flaherty have been excellent in most games. And what they are is they're very organised, very technical footballers, and on the ball, they really set attacks going. And what you saw with probably in the Chelsea game, sort of the Tottenham game, is the first half against Tottenham, Liverpool weren't great. Liverpool could have easily been two or three down if it wasn't for that back three, who just marshal everything. And they have the mentality of, you may get one, you're not getting two, and we are making sure this stays as it is. And I do think that needs to be, you know, brought up. You know, what we may have concerns about pace, because look, that's what football's about these days. A lot of the time is you can't buy that level of technical experience. You know, they're brilliant. All three of them, I think, have been excellent.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And, you know, if we're thinking really negatively and we're going to end up in a right relegation scrap until the very end, you know, these narrow defeats in these games could be absolutely critical. You know, we saw that Tottenham beat Reading at the weekend, or was it, no, Brighton it was, wasn't it, 8-0? You know, we don't look like that's possible against us, and I think that is massive as well. And like you say, that comes down to how organised they are, you know, their experience, but just the fight in them as well, the passion. And I think that's something that as football fans, you know, we'll always buy into. You know, you can have the most technical, you know, players that you can possibly think of, but if they're only turning up for 10% of the game, you know, you can't really get invested in them. Whereas if you've got a player who's, you know, wears the heart on the sleeve and is doing absolutely everything they possibly can to keep the opposition out of the goal, like Laws does, you know, like Nifahi does, like Jilly Flatty does, like Jazz Matthews did when she was playing at the back, and now we've got Meg Campbell in there. You know, it's absolutely huge, that. And then, you know, you've got your fullbacks as well. You know, Emma Koivisto hasn't really shown us as much of what she can do going forward, but I think she's also been critical in that, you know, she's been very supportive of those back three as well, coming back and helping out, you know, as that right wing back. And, you know, I think it's really important, you know, in those games that they've been as solid as they have been, because that gives us the basis now to, one, keep our confidence, you know, up as well, because my biggest fear was that we were, you know, going to be on minus 10 or whatever for our goal difference come this stage of the season. And instead, you know, we're looking at the table and we're going, actually, we've done all right there, you know, against those sides. So it can only help us going forward.
It says, look, when we're looking at the 3 points we've got going, probably really should be five. And that's, and do you know what, in a way, that's great to think that we played most of the sides who finished top six and we're going, probably should have been five, really. You know, if we had looked the other way, we probably should have got something from Tottenham and City. That's the positive we're going to, is you look at these games now going, but we probably can get something out of this. You know, we should do. I mean,
the key thing, Chris, is they're giving themselves the chance of making it five. It hasn't quite come off. You know, let's be honest about this, but Tottenham and City have their own chances in there.
Of course. But
the key element, though, is it is that idea, Chris, that they'll be able, you know, keep those games alive until the last possible minute, make sure they earn it, go from there. And if the ball does drop your way, you know, Liverpool have put themselves in position for both of those games to have possibly ended up with 5 points. And that's all you can ask at this stage. You know, this is the first time they play teams at this level. And that's going to be the tough part. And I think that is a really good, fair point to acknowledge, that Liverpool could have got 5 points. And whilst you would be saying, my God, they pulled that out the fire late on, it would still be 5 points. And that is worth thinking about. But the other thing I will point out in a really weird way is you're saying it could be five, but no one's drawn a game in the whole league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. I've never seen the likes. No one's people played five or six games. There's not a single draw being had in the whole division.
I know, it's meant.
I might go and put money on it this weekend.
All draws.
All draws, you'll make a killing. Yeah. So, but let's look ahead. So, as Neil says, you know, it's a really congested fixture list now. So, we've got Villa at the weekend. Then we've got Brighton. And then we've got Reading midweek. And then we've got Blackburn in the Cup. You know, and then for December, we've got West Ham, City in the Cup, and we've got Leicester. So these are the opportunities, these are the games. If you're the manager, you've earmarked this run as this is your opportunity to try and get more points on the board. Anything before this was probably treated as a little bit as bonus territory, although he would probably outwardly never say that. This is what he looks at.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity for us to pick one. It's also an opportunity for players who probably haven't seen as much. Your Carla Humphreys, your Charlotte Wardlaws, these are the opportunities. Raza Roberts, who, in my opinion, hasn't had as many minutes as I would expect, but whenever she's come on, she's been excellent. Leanne Rowe hasn't had as many minutes as probably some would expect, but has been excellent in the cup games. So, and especially if it's a congested fixture list, we are going to need all these players, so it's going to be intriguing. And Eartha Cummins has been really good in the Conti Cup games for us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's going to be interesting to see in the cup games what he does now, because we kind of put ourselves in a position where it's going to come down to, hopefully, fingers crossed, if we beat Blackburn, to like a shoot-off against Man City as to who's going to go through. But what we have got there as well is there's four games back-to-back at home. And I'm really looking forward to that little run, because especially because you've got that Blackburn game in there as well. If we can win three out of those four, because I would say still it would be a bonus against City to, you know, to win that cup game. If we can win three of those four, that is a massive, massive boost that going into the second half of the season. But I mean, first things first, Villa at the weekend, you know, that is our first indicator, I would say, as to how competitive we're going to be against these sides. You know, and it's going to be interesting to see whether or not he sticks with that three in the midfield. I would like him to, because I don't think you can start Van der Sanden at this stage. You know, she hasn't really had any minutes so far this season. She came on against City and just got a few at the end. But it's too much of a risk, I would say, to put her in from the start. And I would rather us keep it steady and safe in there. And then maybe bring her on last 20, 30 minutes and see what she can do against a tiring defence.
It does give us more pace off just the bench, because then you've also got Yana Daniels, who has been excellent.
Yeah.
You know, and she plays centre mid, she could play wide. But again, if you're bringing Daniels and Van Sand off the bench, you're bringing pace off the bench against tiring legs, which we weren't able to do early in the season because of injuries. And to be fair to Yana Daniels, she was starting because we needed starters for the formation we were playing. So it does give us a different dynamic, I suppose.
Yeah, it was interesting actually against City, because he brought Yana Daniels on and he actually played her as the forward one and brought Stengel deeper, which was really interesting. So, you know, it's whether or not he's looking at something there as well, because let's all face it, if we get an injury to Stengel, we're struggling for a striker basically. So he might be looking at something there as well, as to, you know, whether or not he can play Yana as almost like a centre forward, rather than either a wide player, or, you know, we know ourselves, he's played her at wing-back before now. So she's a more than capable player. I don't know whether or not against Villa he'll see it as more of a, you know, these are the games that he can get points out of, so he'll want to go back to the two in the midfield and leave it a little bit more open. But personally, I would like us to keep it a little bit safer and then maybe change it later on in the game if, you know, if it's still 0-0 or, you know, it's close. But let's see.
I think the Villa thing is, it's possible that Villa, you know, looking at the minute, you're still waiting for the league to sort of settle itself down. And we haven't had a year's experience of seeing these sides. And also there's the chopping and changing. There's a chance that Villa are going to be able to genuinely compete with Everton for seventh, from what you can what you've sort of seen so far. For me, the strange thing is, you know, after the Villa game, Liverpool have got a couple of those two aways. Let's be clear about this. Liverpool, I know it was a Conti Cup game, but Liverpool went to Leicester. Philippa was there and put four past them. Reading just needed two injury time goals to turn Leicester around from a 1-0 win in the game just gone. Brighton have just shipped eight to Tottenham. I think you can look at that first run of three, Villa, Brighton and Reading, and say if Liverpool could find a pathway to 7 points, in whatever order those points come in, then they're in really, really good shape. The key thing is not to lose to these likely to be direct rivals. And I genuinely think within that, this side's solid enough to be able to keep Brighton and Reading at bay and quite possibly look to be able to nick one or two. Because, you know, Reading's only win of the season comes against Leicester. Brighton's only win of the season comes against Reading. You know, these, whereas to be fair to Villa, you know, Villa have at least gone to a couple of places and looked like they, you know, they've not been whacked, you know, to use the what Tottenham have ended up doing to Brighton. That hasn't happened to Villa all the way through this so far. You know, Villa's goal difference is only minus one at this stage, and they've played a couple of the better sides as well. So Villa, you know, have got themselves through this without having been whacked. They did get beat at home by West Ham, but they beat City and they beat Leicester in there as well, and everything else has been tight. They went 1-1 against Chelsea. So I think we've got to really respect Villa as an opponent and really see Villa as, you know, listen, we win, absolutely brilliant, and we all get to be delighted with it. And I think it does say, quite categorically, I'd argue that Liverpool will be in that conversation, the 7th, 8th, 9th conversation, and not in the 10th, 11th, 12th conversation. But I think we need to really find the way through this next little run to ensure that Brighton, Reading and Leicester are in their own thing, nothing to do with us. And we do that by not losing either of the aways, ensuring we beat Leicester later on, and then from there just sort of seeing where we go. But I think there's real potential across the next three for Liverpool to pick up those 7 points. But we just need to be aware. We need to show Villa, I think, a lot of respect. And it might suit us to be prepared to sit a little bit deeper for extended periods, as almost treat them the way we've been treating these top six sides, and see if we can nick one and frustrate. Because I think that could be our way home there. Whereas Brighton and Reading, there's a fighting chance. And, you know, it's not like anyone's going to clip anything I say and put it up on the dressing room wall. But Brighton and Reading, there's a fighting chance we're better than. And that's what might take a different approach from the manager. There's a fighting chance that we are just simply better than Brighton and Reading. There's a fighting chance we've got more strength and depth than Brighton and Reading. And the reason why that matters is we go to Brighton, and then the midweek game is the one that's up against Reading on the 24th, away at Reading. So again, two games back to back, a bit of pressure on that, but we might have more strength and depth. We might be better positioned to make some changes. So all of that, you know, sort of allowed for, I think the Villa priority has got to be not to have happen what happened when we played Everton. We can't suddenly just come up against one of the sides that's going to be around us and find ourselves not quite able to be where we want to be and not to be competing. So I think a massive amount of respect, a lot of looking after the ball for long periods. And the hope would be by the time you get into the games in November, away at Brighton, away at Reading, you've got Van der Sanden fully fit, available to contribute, and she could make a massive difference, because there's every chance that, you know, Liverpool's attack that they take to Brighton, they take to Reading, between Lawley, Daniels, Van der Sanden and Stengel is better than anything Brighton and Reading can live with. And there's a fair chance that that's the case, and that's got to be what we're aiming for.
Can't say much better than that, can you, Philippa? So no. Just before we go then, so for those, if you haven't been to a women's game yet, if you're a season ticket holder or a fan card holder, you get it for nothing. And £7, isn't it, for adults, Philippa? And
£7.50, something like that.
Yeah, and if you're lucky enough to get a ticket to an away game, Liverpool have been putting free coaches as well, which Philippa has been using as well. So you haven't really got much excuse. And listen, the men's game's finishing soon. So the whole December, if you want to go see some competitive world-class football, get yourself down to Prince Park. 4 back-to-back home games. What more can you want out of life? But listen, we'll leave you there. So, Neil, Philippa, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's always great to have you guys on. We'll hopefully try and get one in before Christmas, when hopefully we'll talk about Liverpool getting loads and loads of wins, and we're all happy.
All the points,
that's it. But until then, thanks very much, guys, and I'll speak to you all very, very soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.